Good morning, Saints.
Morning.
Welcome to church this morning. Certainly, it's a blessing to get together, to gather together and worship the Lord together, isn't it? As we were praising our Lord there, it just overwhelmed me in my heart of that, the grace of God to save us. Just can't get that off of my heart and mind just as we were praising the Lord. Would you open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 5? As we continue our worship together, really, as that's what we're doing, as we study the Word of God, we've worshiped together today, we've sang praises to our Lord, we're fellowshipping together, encouraging each other, we've prayed to the Lord corporately, now we study God's Word together. That's part of our corporate worship time, looking into the Word of God. We're continuing our study out of the book of Corinthians, and as we move into chapter 4, there's some definitely difficult things in 1 Corinthians here, but as we move into chapter 4, this struggle of this church becomes more and more apparent, becomes more and more clear by the things that Paul is talking about and addressing them. The main struggle of this church is pride. So I was talking to Brian about, and we were just talking about the humility that God gives us and the humbleness of Christ and how we're to live. But this church's struggle is self-exaltation, thinking too highly of themselves. That's really what God is dealing with. Now, we can all relate to that, right? We can all relate to that, right? Sure, we can relate to that. You know, God's always dealing in our heart with our pride, our focus. You know, today we gather together and we exalt Christ, and we're exalting Him in our fellowship, in our prayer, in our study of God's Word, in our singing. But we all know the challenge of each one of us to view our own selves in a way from a prideful eye. When we view ourselves or others through the eyes of pride, things become skewed or dishonored or disoriented. We see things wrongly through the eyes of pride. And I think you would agree with that. You understand that. You know that. We will see others as tools to help us get what we want or to help us make us happy or to fulfill our needs or obstacles to that. You can just think of your daily life as you go through your daily life and as you go through the week. And sometimes when you get frustrated or you get irritated or you get anxious or the things that are happening because people are in this world, wouldn't it be nice if we were the only people in the world? I mean, that's sometimes you ever think that way? But people are in the world and those things come in your heart. You know what the issue is? Pride. And I think we know this. I think we understand this. And God is working in our heart and mind about these things. If we have pride in our heart, we see ourselves as the center of the drama and everyone else to be written to uphold the center of the drama. But we know that we're not the center. God is the center of all things. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 2, he said, hey, that's the way of the world. And I'm paraphrasing what he said. Simplifying it in a way, he said, that's the way of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, that's the way of the world. And God saved us from that. God rescued, delivered us from that. We're not to love that or embrace that. And in fact, Proverbs 8:13 says it this way, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then so it says, what is evil? Pride, arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverted mouth. So we know this. We talk about this. We teach this. Scripture says, for when pride comes, comes dishonor. Scripture teaches us that pride goes before destruction. And like I said, pride skews our view. It distorts our view of life, of God, of the truth, of each other and ourselves. So God in His Word, by His Spirit, is always working on us to see the humble view, the humility look, if you want to say it that way, to help us see clearly. By giving us this humble view, the view of humility that we read today in Philippians. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 10 there. Christ's view, we're to have the mind of Christ or the attitude of Christ. It's the opposite of pride. Now, the Corinthians' pride, let me set this in context, has caused them to see or view their pastors, their shepherds, their elders, their leaders wrongly. Now, I'm going to say pastors all the way through the service as I share on that, how do you view your pastors, elder, shepherd, leader, they're all the same thing. They're all the same thing. And their pride has caused them to see them wrongly. All the way back, look at with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 and 12. All the way back here, Paul addressed this. He identifies this. This whole section we've been going through, I haven't picked it out so much as we've been going through the passages, but Paul identified this when he started to teach them about their division, about their disunity. Look at it with me, verse 10, chapter 1, he said this, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and there be no division among you, that you be made complete in the same mind, in the same judgment." We talked a lot about that. But that's God's desire for us. For us to be of the same mind, same judgment, like-minded view. That's God's desire. Look at verse 11. Look what he says. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. So there's division here. There's separation here in this body of Christ. There's quarrels. We've talked about they're relying on human wisdom. We looked at all the things. Here I want to show you the main thing about 1 Corinthians that Paul is addressing, their pride. Look what he says in verse 12. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. And I want you to get this. They're rating their pastors. They're rating Paul's better than Peter. Peter's better than Apollos. No, Christ is better than them all. But listen to this, not to exalt the pastor or even Christ, to exalt themselves. This is how pride will skew our view. I'm of Paul. I belong to a special group. So if Paul's group is better than Peter, then I'm better because I belong to Paul's group. That's what's going on in this body of Christ, in this church. That's what they have in their heart. This is what pride will do. We see this all over the world, don't we? If you identify with a group or a person or a church, to exalt yourself. It's what pride does. We do it all the time in sports teams. Here, we'll have a little fun with it. I'm a Dodger fan. That makes me better than a Giant fan. Who's a Dodger fan? Who wants to be a part of that special group? And it's because the Giant fans aren't really as good as us, right? They're not cool. I mean, I'm being silly, but this happens all the time. And I got some strong Dodger fans over here and some strong Giant fans. They're going to start throwing things at me. And, you know, so which one do I need to be in so I am the one exalted? Well, they're people like me and you. The Corinthians are. God's got to teach them. Sometimes people will say, I'm part of that big church or the better place or the famous pastor or they have the best stuff. Now, I'm not putting down a big church. Nothing wrong with the big church. I'm not putting down that a pastor has done some things and written some books and taught some things and he has become well-known and well-respected. I'm not against any of that. But when you become a part of it so it ranks you better than others, it's pride. And that's what God's dealing with in the text. That's what he's teaching. It's like Paul saying, hey, in wanting to address this, that's why I gave this the outline of the message. What are you looking at? Are you looking at the external things in people? Are you looking at the things that, oh, this person's famous, I'll hang around this famous person, and so then all of a sudden I'm kind of better than others, or this place is this way, and I'm looking at external things, outward things, I'm looking at these kind of things, trying to identify myself with those. I'm of Paul. And God has to deal with each one of us in our sin and in our pride, and certainly with me and certainly with all of us. But we don't rank shepherds of God's church. So he teaches. And that's where we get this text here. Chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. He teaches, how are you to view your pastors? Or how do we to view all pastors? How are the pastors to view themselves? How are they looking at themselves? How are we to view each other and how we are to view ourselves? Through the eyes of pride, we exalt ourselves. Through the eyes of humility, who do we exalt, church? Christ. That's always the challenge. That's always the battle. Look at the text with me, 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 5, and listen to what Paul writes. Chapter 4, verse 1, he says, let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it's required of a steward that one be found trustworthy. But to me, it's a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even examine myself, for I'm conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted. But the one who examines me is the Lord. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. Now you see in the text, as we put it in context, he's addressing their view of Paul. Apollos, Cephas. Cephas is Peter, okay? Let a man consider us. That's the us in the text. They're the pastors. They're the apostles. They're the shepherds. They're the teachers, the leaders. That's how that carries on in the church. But he's been addressing this all along. Through the whole time, he's been addressing their view of Paul, Apollos, and Cephas. And it said, let a man regard us, pastors, in this manner. Interesting, that's in the imperative form. That's a command of God. So to help us in our humility, to help us walk with Christ, to help us live the life God wants us to live, God, and this is in the Word of God, wants us to recognize in our own heart and mind how we view each other, how we view the shepherds of the church, how we view ourselves. He writes a command here, let us regard, let every Christian or every man regard the pastors in this manner. And I kind of jumped ahead there. It's let's all Christians, that's what it's talking about when it says let a man. He's talking about Christians. Let a man, or let all Christians regard all pastors in this manner. Regard here is from the mind's eye, when we regard them from the mind's eye. It means to value, to esteem, to consider in your mind's eye pastors in this manner. What manner, Paul? In a manner opposed to prideful exaltation of them, ranking them to exalt yourself. In the opposite of manner of that. And that's what he's getting to. This is the manner. It's in our text. Look at the first one. As servants of Christ. Fill that in your outline. That's what I have there in your outline there. Give you some fill-ins there. Tom encourages me sometimes in that. He does that in his things. I like that. It's a great thing to do when God moves on my heart to help you to write some things down here. Kind of connects us to it also. Fill that in. Servants of Christ. Now, what are servants? Let me give you some definitions of this word. Those who serve under the direction of someone else. That's a servant. A subordinate. That's what a servant is. A subordinate of who? The pastor. We're to view the pastor as servants of Christ, subordinate of Christ. They're to be subordinate of Christ. Servants are the ones who seek to accomplish the commands of their superior. That's what servants are. Interesting, Paul uses a really unique word here. The base form from it is under rowers. Like a big Viking ship. Put that in your mind. Big Viking ship, you know those oars that stick out of the down at the bottom of the ship and how they row it? The words is like that under rower. Don't you just love his words? Think with me in a few messages previously. He has called the shepherds, the pastors, he's called them farm laborers that plant and water in God's field. He's called them construction workers that work in God's building. Now he says they're just under rowers in God's boat. The visuals are incredible here, what he's trying to get us to see. The ship is God's church. Now, that's a view, isn't it? As you would look at the elders, the pastors, same thing here at Living Word Fellowship, they're just under rowers of the ship. We're all in the ship. We're all a part of God's boat. We're God's church. They're the under rowers. All pastors are the under rowers of Christ in his church, seeking to accomplish the commands of the captain. That's the view. That's the view he wants us to have. This puts all of them in the same plane, doesn't it? Galley slaves, they translate that word sometimes. Rowing God's boat. No one more valued than the other. Now, certainly, we certainly appreciate the gifts that they have. We certainly appreciate how they've been used by God to minister to the body of Christ. We certainly appreciate the differences they have, how they care for you, or be grateful for the work that they've done, or ministering that they've done. But God here is teaching that in our mind's eye, God wants us to see them no one higher than another. And like I said, certainly we can appreciate the differences they have and the ministry they have. But in our mind's eye, no one higher or lower. You don't exalt one over the other. And that's what he's getting to here. And that would be what pride does. We exalt them over and then become a part of that one, and then that one, so I'm exalted. And that's what he's teaching. Secondly, Paul says, this is how we're to view him in our mind's eye. He says this, as stewards of the mysteries of God. Value them in your mind's eye as stewards of the mysteries of God. What's that? That's God's word. They have been given a stewardship. Fill that out in your outline. They're stewards of God's word. A steward is someone giving something to manage, to oversee, to administrate. They've been given to the body of Christ by Christ himself to be part of the body of Christ, to serve, to under-row the boat, if you want to see it in that way, and to be stewards over God's word. Scripture clearly teaches us that the pastors are to manage God's household and to administrate God's word. How do they do that? To administrate God's message. A steward, pastors, are given a responsibility to take God's word and to dispense it to God's household. Then God's word manages God's people. And that's how that works. We're to learn God's word. We learn it together. We talk about it. We preach it. We share it. In all the classes that go on, in all the marriage classes, in all the parenting classes, in all the biblical classes on discipleship, in the counseling classes we have, in the spiritual mothering classes we have, in the Sunday school classes we have, what we're teaching is what God's word says for us, what God's word says about him, who he is, why he came, what he did, what he's done in our life in salvation, and how God wants us to live. And God is placed in the body of Christ pastors to make sure it gets administrated. God's truth, God's word. And as the body, as the church honors God's word, learns God's word, it manages God's household. That's how we're to view them. All of God's truth, all of God's ways, they are to oversee that it gets disseminated, understood, applied, simply as Paul told Timothy, preach the word in season and out. Correcting, admonishing, but with patience. That's how you're to view pastors. Together, under rowers of the boat, teaching God's words, God's truth to God's people, seeking to accomplish the commands of the captain of the ship. And they do it together. The whole context is us, verse 1. I want to illustrate that for you. This is how God wants us to see the leaders, the elders, the pastors, how we would say that. They do this together. You ever seen a Viking ship? A Roman ship and that oar that sticks out from the bottom? I'm sure you've seen a movie or something like that in the galley slave. That oar is pretty long, right? And this is how they row it, right? They push it forward and they pull it back. And how we want to view the leadership, the elders of the church, is all on the same oar. And we're to be pushing it forward and pulling it back. Together, that means leadership, elders, we got to work things out. We got to make sure that we're in agreement. That's what he's talking about. As a church, as a body of Christ, that we are rowing God's church, the under rowers, interesting at the bottom of the ship. We're doing it together, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:24. I love this verse. He says it this way, we're working together with you for your joy and standing firm in the faith. Well, that's the rowing. Well, that's what it's all about. Working together with the body of Christ for our joy and standing firm in the faith. Well, that's a great view. And how God wants us to look at this. Thirdly, Paul says in the verse 2, look what he says in verse 2. In this case, moreover, it is required of a steward that one be found trustworthy. So stewards need to be trustworthy. Well, of course. The word here means faithful, trustful, reliable to the call to what God has given. So Paul says, it is required of stewards to be faithful to this. That's in your outline, faithful to this. Faithful to what? To rowing the boat, to serving Christ, to teaching God's word. That's God's view of pastors. Oh, of course. Of course we're to view them like God views them. No one higher than another. No one lower than another, gifted, different things they have in their life, different ministries they have, thankful and grateful for those in our world that have written some of the most incredible things, thankful and grateful for other pastors that have preached the gospel and preached the truth and it ministers to us and we listen to them and they encourage us in his word or they write a book. Philip Yancey, that book, try to remember the other title, but that gentleman's other book encouraged my daughter Kaylee tremendously just recently. I want to be grateful and thankful for what God is doing. He's an under-rower, a preacher, a teacher, a disseminator of God's truth. All of them are. That's the view of God. Now, sure, there's accountability. Sure, there's accountability. We'll get to that in a minute. Your pastors are to be serving the Lord, teaching all of God's word and living out his word, and they're to be faithful to do that. That's what's in the text. It's required of stewards that one be found trustworthy, faithful. We want to be faithful. We need encouragement to be faithful. We need help to be faithful. We need God to help us be faithful. But how do pastors view themselves? That's the next thing. How do the pastors view themselves? Look at our text. What's verses 1 and 2 say? Pastors in their mind's eye are to view themselves as servants of Christ, seeking to accomplish the commands of the captain, under rowers of the ship, stewards of God's holy word. We're not standing in the captain's chair. We're not even up there where they actually steer the boat. Christ steers the boat. Christ is the captain of the ship. God has asked us to be under rowers of God's church, stewards of God's word, being a steward, managing, disseminating God's truth, God's word. God has given them responsibility. That's what a pastor needs to look at. God supplies his word, his spirit, his gifts, his power, and all a pastor can do is to be faithful in using those resources. That's what he's talking about. If you're a leader, think about you, gentlemen, as you are fathers in your home. This applies right down into the things as we would walk into the things. You would view yourself as a dad, and God wants you to be a servant of Christ, steward of what God has given you. And he will supply his word, his spirit, his gifts, his power. All you can do is work on your faithfulness to the resources that he has given. 2 Corinthians 6:4, Paul says it this way, pastors in everything, we are to be commending ourselves as servants of the Lord. We do it together, one oar, no one higher, no one lower. Yes, some have better gifts, different gifts, more gifts, write a book, different personalities, letters behind their name. But we can never exalt ourselves over another. A pastor should never do that. He should never have his own view that he's better than someone else, that he's whatever it may be, as he would see as better. He should see himself as a fellow pastor rowing the ship together with the other pastors as God has asked him to do. As we continue, look at what Paul says in verses 3 and 4. So first we've looked at the church, or the body of Christ, their view of pastors, and now we're looking at pastors' view of themselves. And then Paul says this, look what he says, very interesting. He says, but to me, it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself, for I'm conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things that are hidden in darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. So, very interesting what he says here, isn't it? What do you think he's getting at? Here we have, he's teaching on a humble view of the shepherds of the church, a humble view the shepherds need to have of themselves. And then he says this, verse 3, but to me it's a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. Now he doesn't say you can't examine, investigate, look at. In fact, we're supposed to. We're supposed to see each other's life. It's fine for you to see my life. It's fine for you to look at me and examine. You might see something to encourage me. You might see something to counsel me. You might see something that you don't understand. You're going to see my life. I live before you. I'm a part of the body of Christ. I'm part of the church. He doesn't say we don't examine each other. Criticism comes, encouragement comes, different things are shared. That's all fine. That's all good for me. That's all helpful in a family of God, in the body of Christ. We do this to each other. But listen to what he says. But to me, it's a very small thing. Why does he say that it's a very small thing to him? That your evaluation of him or your evaluation of me, it's a very small thing. This is why. Because pastors are not trying to please you. I've had to learn this in my life. Pastors aren't trying to get your approval. For when they're trying to please you and get your approval, they're dealing with the view of pride skewing the things that God wants them to see. It's not about pleasing us. And that's what he says. You know, I understand when people bring things. It's not like I disvalue them. But he says, I don't put that much weight in it because pride can and does get in the view of pastors. I want to be liked. I want to be appreciated. I want to be thought as a good teacher, as seen as a good preacher. And if I get your affirmation or if I get your liking about it, then you see what I'm talking about? This is what Paul is getting to here. A pastor doesn't want to look at it that way. You put too much stock in your evaluation, you start seeking to please people instead of the Lord. You don't want that from me, do you? Like I said, your encouragement, your admonishment, your criticisms are absolutely fine, good for me, help me, and your desire to help me to be faithful is incredible, and I'm thankful for all of that. But it's a small thing. Look at verse 3 and 4 again. He says this. But to me, it's a very small thing that I'm examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even examine myself, for I'm conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted. You know, it's a small thing, my own opinion of myself. Because, boy, I could sure deceive myself. How about you? I still think I'm a pretty good basketball player. I want you to ask the guys that play church basketball whether that's true or not anymore. I'll never forget the last time I played and I jumped for a rebound and I'm out there and I thought I was coming down with a ball and I landed perfectly vertical, flat on the concrete. Bam! And they all come running up, and of course I wasn't feeling very well. You all right? You pass. I thought my feet were under me. And they said, no more jumping for you. Well, I don't want to trust in my own evaluation of me because pride skews things. Look what he says we want to trust in. What did he say next? But the one who examines me is the Lord. Certainly the body of Christ, we want to encourage each other and hold each other accountable. And the Word of God says. And then certainly we want to have it in our own heart. When God brings up things in our own heart, we can trust in a way some things that are in our mind and heart. But there you go. There's what God's view wants. Lord, am I being faithful to you? We want to teach each one of us that. Because that's the ultimate thing here is God, because God knows the heart. He knows the motive. It's really hard for each one of us to know each other's motive. We can look at some external things. We can look at some external things on our faithfulness. But we really don't know the very depth of all that, but the Lord does. Now let me ask you, how are we to view each other? How are we to view each other? I think you can answer by what we've looked at today. Each of us is servants of Christ, trying to live the commands of his word, being stewards of the responsibilities he has given us. Look around. That's what each one of us are how we're to view each other. No higher, no lower. Yes, some different. Yes, God has worked in some people's lives. Some have been married a year. Some for quite a few years over here. And God has worked in the midst of all of that, but no one's higher or lower. We're Christians, servants of Christ. Servants of Christ. We get to serve Christ. Stewards of what he's given us. Each of you is a steward. It's required that the steward be faithful. Absolutely, we want to help, hold accountable, encourage each other to be faithful. But the bottom line, we want to encourage each other to look at God's word and God's truth and ask the Lord, you show me my life. You guide my life. We're all on the same ground. There's no ranking believers, just different stages of the journey. Now let me ask you this question. How are you to view yourself? I think you know the answer. Turn to 1 Peter 4. Let's kind of finish this up with this. We're to view ourselves the same way. So you here see what God is teaching here. In the humble view, the pastors have a role in the church, but they're not to be exalted, and they're not to exalt one another or one over another. Valued, respected, the things that God would have us do in his word, but thankful and grateful for who he is and what they've done in their life, how the pastors view himself. I'm just on equal ground with all of us. God's asked me, given me a stewardship to do some certain things. I just want to know, Lord, am I being a steward of the things you've asked me to do? How do we view each other? The same way, as servants of Christ, given stewardship, want to be helping each other, be faithful to that, to look at God's word, God's truth, and ask the Lord, Lord, help me, guide me, lead me to be faithful. No one higher, no one lower. We'd want to view ourselves that way. Not to be thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought. Peter says this in 1 Peter. I didn't turn there while you guys were, so I'm kind of behind. He says in 1 Peter 4, 7 through 10, he says this. He says, the end of things, of all things, is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. We need to view ourselves. Are we having sound judgment? The Lord's going to show us that. Are we judging things, seeing things that God wants us to see biblically, truthfully, with sound judgment? And we want to be a sober spirit. We want to be humble spirit. Let's just kind of put it in that. For the purpose of prayer, because we're going to pray and we're going to ask the Lord, Lord, how's my life? Lord, show me in my life. Lord, I'm praying for my family. Lord, I'm praying for my kids, for my church, for the neighborhood, for you. I'm asking, seeking, and all that. And so I'm going to need to be of sound judgment. I'm going to need to have the view of humility, because pride will just see it all wrongly. Okay, so help me, Lord, be humble and sober and see you clearly as I pray to you. And above all, this is what he says, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint, as each one has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What an incredible statement. It sounds like rowing the boat together to me, does it you? Stewards over the things God has given us, seeking to be faithful. You know, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, 5, let's not pass judgment before the time of Christ's return. Making declarations of it's finished, it's over, you're this, you're that, I'm this, you're that. And saying, oh, wonderful, oh, bad, oh, good, oh, special. He said, God knows the motives of men's heart. Let him handle that at the end of all this. Let's be helping each other. Be faithful in the Lord. That's what he's saying. So last thing of encouragement I have for you. Do you have your bulletin? Did you see the other side? I gave you some talents. You know the parable that Jesus taught of the talents, and he gave out five, and then they went and they did with what they did, and then Jesus came back, or the owner came back, and they said, oh, I did this. And then, you know, and then one person, you know, I buried it in the ground because I knew you were. Now I want to get into the parable. But look at verse 10 again with these on your mind. 1 Peter 4:10. Listen to what he says. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I wrote down five of the manifold grace of God. I could have wrote down a lot. Manifold, many different kinds, many different things. See them as talents that God has given you. You have been given the grace of, listen to this, salvation. You have been given the grace of salvation, rescued, delivered, saved, no longer a slave to sin, no longer belong to the jurisdiction of the enemy or of Satan, but you belong to the kingdom of God. We have been given, look at it, we have been given by the grace of God salvation, to be rescued, to be delivered. We have new life. You have been given the grace of new life, reconciled to God, forgiven of God, freed from sin slavery, a life lived in union with the Lord, a life filled with real purpose and meaning. You have new life. It's incredible. Even God says in 2 Corinthians 5, it's like a new creation. The old things are gone. The new things have come. You have salvation. It's a grace gift. It says be stewards over the manifold grace of God. You have salvation. You have new life. Listen, truth. You can now see and understand God and God's truth and God's way. You can know truth. You can believe truth. You can live the truth. Anybody remember when they couldn't even understand what was true? That in your mind's eye, through the pride of arrogance, what you thought was true was absolutely false. The world's a lie. And God opened up your heart, ministered to you, opened up your mind that you can see truth. You know how important that is? It's true. I can't play basketball anymore. But that's okay. But it's true that Jesus is the only way, the only life, the only truth. It's true that God will never leave you or forsake you. It's true that God loves you. It's true what awaits us. And you can see the truth. You've been given the grace of the ministry of reconciliation. Think of that for a moment. What a ministry. You can teach, Brian, listen to what you were sharing today. You can teach, share, live in such a way that it brings people closer to your God, even reconciles relationships with them by the power of the Holy Spirit. You've been given that. The ministry of reconciliation, you have that. That's what you have. And you've been given the grace of heaven. One day, we're all will be made right. All will be made perfect. You have that. It's a grace. You and me have been asked to be stewards of what he has given us. That's what he's asking. We're to have the right view of all of this, of each other, the pastors, of ourselves. I do not deserve this. I could never earn this. That's the base of your view. That's the foundation to humility. That what we have in Christ, what God has given us the stewardship over, you never deserved. It's given by a mercy, and you could never earn. It's given by a grace. So as a church, as we look at what Paul is teaching us here, as a body of Christ, in our view, as we look at each other, as we look at ourselves, for us to recognize in our own heart and mind our view. What is our view? And if our view isn't God's view, we need a God to help us, to guide us, to lead us, to go to his word, his truth. Lord, help me view this life, view this truth, view this salvation, this new life as not exalting me, but a grace given for me to be a steward over to exalt you. And let's be helpful or faithful, help each other to be faithful to that calling. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning to us and for the time that we've had today to worship you, to gather together, to praise your name, to pray to you, to seek your word and your truth, Lord. And thank you for the teaching that's in 1 Corinthians here for these believers in you and their early in their Christianity, learning from you, learning from your word, learning from Paul as he shares your word to them, to help them, to guide them, to lead them down the journey path of honoring you in all that they do. Certainly, Lord, you would need to address the things that are in our life, for none of us have arrived. We thank you for the grace given, for the stewardship given, for we have a life that has meaning and purpose that we can live for you. We exalt you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand for the closing song.